بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه من والاه. We're on book 14 now. Critical, absolutely critical. كتاب الصلاة على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. One of the most things that make the deen unique is that we have something called Salah on the Prophet, peace be upon him. Okay, and this, why is it unique? Firstly, your iman in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes Islam the only true Abrahamic religion. We always say the Abrahamic religions. We have to understand what we mean when we say the Abrahamic religions. Just because something originates in a certain way does not make it reflective of the originator. Think about this, okay? If an American group goes off, starts a little colony and becomes communists, they're not American anymore, right? Not American anymore. Because the principles of being American, right? It's not gonna be like a US colony or an American state, okay? The Yahud have not believed in all the prophets whom Allah sent. And they have cursed and maligned and said very bad things about certain of them and about Sayyidina Maryam. So does this reflect the path of Ibrahim? Would that be what Abraham wanted them to do? So in that respect, it's not Abrahamic religion at all. Secondly, the Nasara, the Christians, right? With all the Quran gives certain respects to them, okay? They end up worshiping a man and making a man divine, which brings up a very important question. Then what was Abraham worshiping, right? If you're Abrahamic religion, okay? And the whole situation with the cross happened, what? 2,000 years after, 2,500 years after Abraham? So what was he worshiping then? Right? We're worshiping the same thing. God, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. Okay? Abraham did not speak at all of God, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Abraham spoke about God, period. So then what happened from the time of Abraham, time of Jesus, in theology? Are they then going to say, well, no, God didn't have a son, then he did have a son. Right? Well, here you have a theological problem, because the actions of God, the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal and His actions do not have a beginning and an end. His actions do not have a beginning and an end, because His actions are attributes to Himself, and therefore they are His attributes from before time existed, before the creation of time. That means if He was to be a father or a son, okay, how could Abraham not have known about that? So this is a theological argument. It's a big, which is a problem in Christian theology, okay? Is all your previous prophets that you claim were prophets basically didn't understand God. They didn't know God properly, right? They didn't know who God was. And now all of a sudden, things change. So when we say Abrahamic religions, just because someone attributes himself to someone doesn't mean he represents them, okay? And this happens in Dawah, happens all the time. I studied with Sheikh so-and-so. Okay, so we're all naive people, we think that you represent that sheikh. Because there's no way to ask, right? And then you actually phone the sheikh or meet the sheikh, he's never even heard of him. And this happened in England a lot. Charlatans running around saying, I study with sheikh so-and-so. So we think, oh, he represents the sheikh, so let's study, right? And then they go back and they call up the sheikh, he's never even heard of him, right? So just attribution does not mean representation. You gotta make sure that when we keep repeating this phrase, Abrahamic religions, these do not represent Prophet Abraham at all. We gotta make that very crystal clear, okay? Because we start to think, oh, it's Abrahamic. It's as if three spouts coming from the same thing, like a Coke machine or something, right? Three spouts coming from the same thing, like it's as if it's like, oh, just pick your one. You want Sprite, you want orange soda, you want Coke, it's all the same thing. This is different forms. This is what they want you to believe eventually, I'm telling you. Okay? Okay, this is what they want you to believe. Right? It is not the case at all. Is these two do not represent at all the path of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. And why does the Quran tell us? مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يَهُودِيًّا وَلَا نَصْرَانِيًّا وَلَكِنْ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا. Right? هُوَ سَمَّاكُمُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, هُوَ سَمَّاكُمْ الْمُسْلِمُونَ. Okay? He named you Muslims. Some say it is Allah Azza wa Jal, some say that Huwa refers back to Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Allah Azza wa Jal made it one and the same. So the pronoun He made you or named you Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it in the Quran that that pronoun can refer to Allah and it can refer to Ibrahim, showing that their will upon this was one and the same. So that Ibrahim named us this by inspiration from Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah clears you tell you he's not a Yahudiyan, wala Nasraniyan. Okay? He was not a Jew or a Christian. Okay? So that we realize that when we say Abrahamic faith, okay, the matter cannot be watered down too much. Yes, there is a special spot that Sharia puts for them. But this is not an honor. Right? It's not out of honoring. It's out of respecting what they attribute themselves to and their good origins, because we can't deny that for 1,000 years, the people of Allah on earth were the Bani Israel. And for 2,000 years. And for a few hundred years, the people of Allah on the earth were the followers of Isa ibn Maryam. Right? So we can't deny that. And for that reason, right, Sharia still gives them more respect than others. And we shouldn't have an extreme, right? Go to either extreme. So why are we saying this? Because the most beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal is His last prophet. Okay? His, the one prophet that will never follow another prophet, every other, nor will his Sharia ever be displaced. Alright? Every other prophet has been given an order from Allah Azza wa Jal. If another messenger comes, you're done. Your job is done. You become a follower. Right? Think about this. Every other prophet and messenger. Firstly, prophets don't bring anything new. Prophets, let's say, work under messengers. A messenger has a book and a new law. A prophet, okay, comes representing the perfect application of that law. Alright? So Musa is a messenger. He came with a new law. All of the Hebrew prophets, Sulaiman, all of the Zechariah and Yahya, what are they? They represent the perfect application of that law. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, anytime a new messenger comes, okay, your law is finished and his is the new law. Okay? That means like if your passport expires, khalas, that's it. Throw it out, get a new one. If a prophet comes, if you're a prophet, and there are no other prophets in the land, okay? When a new prophet comes, he's given the leadership. Okay, so this is how it works, right? So this is the order that Allah gave all prophets. There's only one prophet who will not be superseded by anyone, even though Prophet Isa comes back at the end of time. But the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his Sharia is never overrided. Secondly, the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it has no limit in time and has no limit in scope. All other messengers were given a limit in their scope. All right, like a franchisee, this is your zone right here. This is your area. These are the area codes you can serve. You're not allowed to sell to another area code. This is how franchising works, right? You have a limit. If you deliver fruits, edible arrangement, fruit baskets to people, okay? You're given a set of area codes. You can't go outside that area, right? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was given the entire globe until the end of time. He is the most beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal, and that's why salah upon him is a unique feature that the Muslims have that no other people have. And salah upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has produced a culture, right, that no other people had. So we have poetry, we have books, we have all sorts of things that all salah upon the Prophet, constantly salah upon the Prophet, has produced all these things. Okay? So what is Salah upon the Prophet? How can we make Salah upon the Prophet, peace be upon him? What is the way we do that? Right? What does it mean? Because we understand Salah is prayer. So how do we pray on the Prophet? What does that even mean? So the word Salah has different meanings depending on who's doing it. When we do Salah, okay, we make Salah to Allah Azza wa Jal. So we have to define both relationships. Who is doing the Salah upon whom or to whom? So our Salah to Allah Azza wa Jal, the Salah ila, to Allah Azza wa Jal, involves worship, right, subservience, and dua, right? Salah upon someone is different. To make Salah upon someone, so we said Salah ila, to someone, is prayer. So that is only for Allah Azza wa Jal. Then you have Salah upon someone. Anyone can make Salah upon anyone. You can make Salah upon anyone else greater than you, equal to you, or less than you. And Allah Himself says that He makes Salah upon the Prophet. Right? And the Prophet makes Salah upon the Ummah. So what does that Salah mean? Okay? When it comes to when Salah upon is made from someone superior to someone inferior, okay, it is a blessing. A blessing of peace. Right? هو الذي يصلي. Okay, خذ من أموالهم صدقة تطهرهم. خذ من أموالهم صدقة تطهرهم وصلي عليهم إن صلاتك سكن لهم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, take their zakah. Whenever someone brings zakah to you, then you're going to give them a special gift back. What is that special gift? وصلي عليهم إن صلاتك سكن لهم. Make salah upon them, okay? Because your blessings, saying salah, blessings upon them, brings them peace. إِنَّ صَلَاتَكَ سَكَنٌ لَهُمْ. Okay? Now what happens when we, the inferior, make salah upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the superior? Okay? This salah means طلب, seeking the sakina of his remembrance. Alright? So we can't be with the Prophet, peace be upon him. But we can make salah upon him. By doing so, some people think we're making dua for the Prophet, peace be upon him. You're not making dua for the Prophet. Like who? Your ego really got in the way. If someone thinks we're making dua for the Prophet, you think you're making dua for the Prophet. Who are you? You make dua for yourself. You're on the way to Jahannam and you're making dua for the Prophet. You're not making dua for the Prophet. Just make that very... What are you doing? You are taking some of that sakina by remembering the Prophet, peace be upon him. You are seeking the sakina that is unique to the Prophet, peace be upon him. Because Allah says, صَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ صَلَاتَكَ سَكَنٌ لَهُمْ. So we are making salah upon the Prophet, peace be upon him. Okay? طَلَبًا لِتِلْكَ السَّكِينَ. Seeking that sakina. Because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a man came and he said, O Messenger of Allah, I make half of my ibadah, or he said, a quarter of my ibadah, I have dedicated it to make salah upon you. Okay? Prophet ﷺ said, good, and if you increase, is better. He said, then a third. The Prophet said, good, and if you increase, is better. Then he said, half. Then he said, it's good, and if you increase, is better. He said, then if it keeps getting better, I might as well do all of it. So he said, I'll do all of it. Okay? He said, إِذَنْ يَذْهَبْ هَمُّكْ وَيُكْشَفْ هَمُّكْ. Right? In that case, if all of it is like this, then your hem will disappear and your anxieties will go away. Your anxiety and your grief will disappear. Alright? If you are in a depressed state, if you're just depressed, sometimes for physical reasons even, right? The weather's so bad, maybe you're just down, you're tired, sometimes you're in a state, you're just down, right? There's no real reason you're down, right? So what do? You go have a Hershey Kiss, right? Some sugar, maybe it'll get me up. Alright, put the TV on, maybe that'll get me up. Alright, get a cup of tea or coffee. This is what you should do. You could do all that stuff. Alright, get yourself your tea and your coffee, a couple chocolates, because the weather is like so gloomy these days. You need a little bit of cocoa, caffeine, sugar. Humans help, by the way. This is why we get sad these days. Not enough humans. Humans is a big pick-me-up. All these people are depressed today because the nature of American life separates you from humans. When you travel on the bus, right? Even when you travel on the bus, it used to be, today everyone's on their phone. But when you travel on the bus, there are people. You talk to the person next to you, right? You go grocery shopping, you come down in England, you get your groceries from the same guy who owns a little shop, right? And you know that's his business, he lives and dies by you, so he talks to you. Unlike today, you go to the shop, right? That lady could care less about you, right? She's just an employee. But little back in the day, with the local economy, this is the benefit of the local economy. There's actually a psychological benefit to local economy. Some people think it's just an economic thing. No, because that greengrocer or that coffee seller, whoever it is, who runs a little shop, his livelihood is based on you, based on like 100 people on the block, right? So he's very careful to make sure you're happy. So you go in to get like a couple tomatoes, he's gonna smile, the bare minimum. So there's actually a psychological positive to local economies and a psychological and emotional and community negative to these huge chains, okay? These huge chains where they just got robots, depressed kids, and unfortunately unemployed people who got laid off from Wall Street and they're now working at the Target. The guy's miserable, and I feel bad too. I feel bad myself seeing a 70-year-old behind the cash register. You don't have a family? Your kid can't take care of you? Why are you working at 11 at night on a Saturday or a Tuesday? This is very sad, right? This is, family's been broken apart, economy's been broken apart, and this is the result? Wallahi, it makes me very sad to see someone with white hair working 8 hours a day, right? It shouldn't be that way. We Muslims, we know we have to take care of your mom and dad. They have to have a room, they have to have a room. Oh, my wife might not like it. She doesn't have to like it, right? She can find another husband, okay? Really, think about this. Oh, my wife doesn't like it. What is this? This is your mom. You're not going to take care of your mom or her mom. SubhanAllah, we've totally, we have to bring back these old world things because this is what the deen is all about. Keeping these families together, okay? So here's the thing is, what we were saying, humans. But here is, when you're down, you got another thing I'm telling you, right? I call it the light bath. A light bath. And I went off to Amazon and I got myself one of these 1,000 beads. 1,000. Thing like goes all the way to the other wall. Okay? And I sit there in my living room on a random Monday or Tuesday night after everything's settled. Okay? And you're just relaxing. And you just do those salah on the Prophet, peace be upon him, and don't miss a single one, right? Just do 1,000 before you sleep. You will realize, oh my gosh, something happened. It's a light bath. Nur is coming down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man salla alayhi marra, sallallahu alayhi ashra marrat. Whoever sends one salah to me, and you're seeking sakina, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and making salah upon him and praising him. Our salah is seeking sakina. What else? It's praise. You're praising the Prophet, peace be upon him. You're praising the one whom Allah azza wa jalla loves the most. So as a result of that, Allah rewards you 10 times over. Okay? Allah rewards you 10 times over. When you're going to get a job or to apply to marry a man's daughter or to propose, what do you do? You go and you find out what that man loves, what your boss or that future father-in-law loves and whom he loves, and you start loving them. There's a book called How to Make Money Without Doing Anything. They made a movie about it, okay? The number one principle is this: find out who your boss loves and what your boss loves and love them. That's the summary of the whole book, right? Then you're gonna be, you know, in line with him, he's gonna want to keep you. This is an old book that made a movie in the 60s, okay? You know this is Allah's most beloved. You're paying attention to him and praising him. Allah Azza wa Jal sends you 10 rahmas. 10 times 1,000 is what? Okay? Do the math. And then on Fridays, which starts Thursday night, right, to Maghrib on Friday, Allah Prophet said, "Man salla alayya marra yawm al-jum'ah sallallahu alayhi," right, "aw anzala alayhi mi'ata rahmah." Its value is 100. Which is why the gatherings of Salah on the Prophet, peace be upon him, used to always happen Thursday nights. Because Salah upon the Prophet, Thursday night, what we call Thursday night, all the way to Maghrib on Friday, is multiplied by 10. Alright? 10 times 10, which is 100. Okay? For every Salah upon the Prophet that a person makes, they receive 100 rahmas. Okay? So again, when we make Salah and Salam upon the Prophet, we are seeking from Allah Azza wa Jal that Sakina which is associated with His Prophet. Okay? We're seeking that Sakina from Allah by remembering His most beloved. Right? So this is the meaning of our Salah upon Him. And Allah Azza wa Jal has ordered the angels to constantly be making Salah upon the Prophet, peace be upon him. Okay? Inna Allahu malaikatahu yusallun ala nabi. Okay? How does Allah make Salah upon the Prophet? Sending him blessing him. Okay? What does it mean, blessing? It means that the bad goes away and the good comes in. In general, the word blessed means everything bad. Specifically, what? The internal. Right? Everything negative feeling goes away and a positive comes in. And if something is very little, it will suffice you. Okay? And if harm is very great, it will avert you. Okay? This is the general meaning of what blessings are. Okay? And the angels are making constant salah and salam upon the Prophet. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. What is the least verbiage of the salah upon the Prophet? And what is the best? So let's take the best first. The best is the salah Ibrahimiyya. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad. Kama sallayta ala sayyidina Ibrahim wa ala ali sayyidina Ibrahim. وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. This is the greatest salah upon the Prophet. Imam al-Shafi'i, now we have another question. Do we say Muhammad or Sayyidina Muhammad? Okay, either one is valid. However, Imam al-Shafi'i said it is not appropriate for anyone to say the name of Muhammad except he says Sayyidina Muhammad. Okay? Why? Because the Quran says, do not call upon him the way you call everyone else. He must be made specific. He must be made specific. Okay? This is why we say Sayyidina Muhammad. Okay? But if someone were to just say Muhammad, okay, it would still, of course, be valid. Okay? That's the Salah Ibrahim. What is the least that you can say? Simply to say, Allahumma salli alayhi. Three words. Allahumma salli alayhi. Allahumma salli alayhi. Allahumma salli alayhi. Now, if someone's going to make dhikr that way, he should start with the Salah Ibrahimiyya, and then he could do as many dhikrs as he wants by saying Allahumma salli alayhi, Allahumma salli alayhi, Allahumma salli alayhi, Allahumma salli alayhi. But he starts with one of the salahs that begin with the name of the Prophet, peace be upon him. Any type, so that when you use the pronoun form, you have already stated the Prophet's name. Because in Arabic, in any language, whenever you say a pronoun, you have to first say the person's name first. So you say Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, Allahumma salli alayhi, Allahumma salli alayhi, Allahumma salli alayhi, Allahumma salli alayhi. And honestly, salah on the Prophet, peace be upon him, used to be the leisure and the relaxation of the people. They used to go when things were good and the temptations of technology were down. There are too many distractions and temptations now. That's why these things have been destroyed, right? But if you knew, ask your grandfathers and your great-grandfathers, what is life like after a day of work? He says, we go, have dinner, okay, and then you go down to the masjid. Between Maghrib and Isha, there could be a qari reciting, and you just sit back and listen and relax. Or there would be a gathering of Dala'il al-Khairat or the Burda or something like this, in which they would be praising the Prophet and singing songs about the Prophet or making salah upon the Prophet. Right? Everyone would get a book and they follow along and they make salah on the Prophet. This was the leisure relaxation of the Ummah. This is a recreation, right? This is how they unwound. They unwound an unwinding that brings them blessings. Right? Today we unwind a blessing. If it's halal, we just hope it's halal. Our relaxation, we just have to pray it's halal. Right? Find something to watch on TV that's halal. This is how people today, unwind. But even while you're doing this, at least move your tongue with Salah on the Prophet, peace be upon him, so that you can really, your soul can relax. Give yourself a light bath while you're unwinding. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man salla alayya salatan sallallahu alayhi biha ashra." Whoever makes one salah upon me, Allah azza wa jal sends 10 salahs upon him. وعن ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أولى الناس بي يوم القيامة أكثرهم علي صلاة. The most worthy people to be next to me on the day of judgment are whom? أكثرهم علي صلاة. The most in making salah upon me. The most in making salah upon me. Anytime a Muslim, he's got anxiety and grief, his first direction should be salam upon the Prophet. Alright? And we have to learn how to do it. And we need help. You need tools. Right? Some people still have this notion that to use bead is wrong. What are you talking about? They say to use your fingers is better. What am I counting my beads with? My nose? I'm still using my fingers. Hello? Right? I'm using my fingers one day and someone said to me, use your fingers is better. What am I doing now? Right? SubhanAllah. Right? Secondly, I want to know how you calculate your zakat with your fingers, right? The Prophet didn't use beads. Okay, how did the Prophet calculate his zakat? They bought 40 sheep and they pushed one aside. They bring the next 40 and they push one aside, right? They bring 40 gold coins and they push one aside. That's how they did zakat back in the day. How do you calculate your zakat, right? You're going to go and use math? The Prophet didn't have algebra. The Prophet didn't have arithmetic, right? Back in those times, okay? You can use a calculator. Next time I see them using the zakat with a calculator. Okay? I'm telling them, cut that out. Cut that bid'ah out. Get that bid'ah out of here. See what he's going to say. Okay? SubhanAllah. You're giving sadaqah? Oh, yes. With what? A debit card? Get that bid'ah out of here. See how absurd he realizes these. You're using tools. These are tools for our ibadah. This is a tool. Okay? It's just a tool. So this, silliness, really, of people thinking that the bead is wrong. The bead should not be some silly thing that everyone's got all the time. And it's a distraction, actually. You got rolling beads all the time. This is also silliness, too. Dhikr is time for dhikr. Anything else is time for anything else, right? It's not just beads all the time. And in your car, so dhikr is very useful, too. Because what else are you doing in the car? So, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said another hadith. Okay. Inna min afdali ayyamikum yawm al-jum'ah. The best day is Jum'ah. Remember, the day in the Sharia month starts at night, right? When the moon comes up. Fa'akthiru alayya min as-salati fi. So increase in the salah upon me in it. Fa'inna salatakum ma'rudatun alayya. Because a special thing happens on Fridays. Salah upon the Prophet, peace be upon him, is delivered. And some of the ulama said, your entire week's salah upon the Prophet is delivered to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay? Is delivered to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulullah, wa kayfa tu'radu salatuna alayka wa qad aramta. Sahabi says, how will this be if you die? Okay. قال يقول بليت قال إن الله عز وجل حرم على الأرض أجساد الأنبياء. Okay. The bodies of the prophets do not dissolve in the earth the way our bodies dissolve in the earth. And in another hadith, he says, Allah revives his soul to see what his ummah has done of salah upon him, and he returns the salam upon them for every salah they've done for him. Okay, for every salah they've done for him, he returns it on Thursday and Friday. Or what we would call Thursday night, or this Friday. Okay? So this is very important. To know that your link with the Prophet ﷺ remains, and that the Messenger will know of your efforts of salah upon him. Why is this important? Right? So that nobody thinks, I'm sitting here remembering someone who's dead, long gone. Nah, it's not the case. Tell me, do the martyrs die? What does Allah say about martyrs? in the Quran, لا تقولوا أموات بل أحياء. Allah says, do not say they're dead, rather they're alive. Right? They are alive. All of the prophets are alive, a different life. A different life. Okay. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when he's making Hajj, on the way to Hajj, what did he say to the people? He said, I see Musa alayhi salam making Hajj with us. Right? The Sahaba don't see him, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw him. Right? Because there are dimensions that we don't see. We don't see all the dimensions. Right? We do not, there are dimensions of life and existence. We don't see them. Allah made it for a wisdom that we don't see them. The Anbiya see them and the Prophet's telling us they exist. Why did the Prophet say, I see Musa? Why is he telling them this? He's telling them this to see. Prophets don't die. They live a different existence and they're on the earth, in that dimension on the earth. With us on the earth. And Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is no different. One of the biggest problems in people's aqidah is to think prophets are long gone. No, they're not long gone. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is another hadith. تُعَرَضُ عَلَيْهِ أَعْمَالُكُمْ. Right? And the hadith begins saying, حَيَاتِي خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَمَوْتِي خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. My life is good for you, and in my death there is good for you. So what is that? How does that be? The Sahaba said, we understand how your life is good. How is your death good? He said, تُعَرَضُ عَلَيْهِ أَعْمَالُكُمْ. Your deeds are shown to me. This is why in Aqidah we believe the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is informed and is knowledgeable of every individual in the Ummah by name. Go to the books of Aqidah and this is what it says. This is our belief. This is a very important belief so that you aren't cut off from your Prophet, peace be upon him. You're not cut off. Your Messenger knows who you are and he knows what you're doing. Right? We have to know this. Someone says, oh, but Allah is our only judge. Someone said that Prophet Muhammad saying, you go to heaven, you go to hell. Okay? Well, he is alive in his grave, a life greater than this life. Because we know that this life, relative to the akhirah, or to the life after death, is like the life of the womb relative to real life. The life that we know now. Likewise, this life, for us, we're trapped in a body. After death, we're not trapped in bodies anymore. We're not limited. Why is your knowledge now limited? Because the size of your body, your brain, right? Once you're outside of the body, the ruh, the spirit, has no limits. This is why, someone says, the Prophet can know the names and the actions, and he can return the salams of a billion people in the ummah, all at once? We say yes. Because once the ruh leaves this limited body, this unlimited what it can do. There are no limits on what it can do. Okay? Yeah, there are limits, but it's in relative to this, it's unlimited. Okay? Just like, look at the inventions of the human being. Look at the inventions of the human being. Okay? You had a company back in the day. How many, in the 1950s, if you had a company, how many orders could you process in a day? If you had a company in the 50s, how many orders could you process in a day? And how did you process them? You had as many people as you could hire writing out stuff. Right or wrong? Amazon today, how many orders can it process in a day? Right? And that's a human creation. You think the soul is weaker? You think the soul is no different? The soul has processes and has faculties. Yet in comparison to the body, unlimited. Okay? So this is a very important part of Aqidah, and this is one of the main issues that needs to be revived so that people know that they are very connected to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and all of the righteous imams have a link to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which they live every day. Imam Malik ibn Anas, and who knows the deen better than Imam Malik ibn Anas? He used to say, if one night passes and I do not see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I will count myself as a hypocrite. I won't have it. Every night he used to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his dreams, in when he was asleep. Okay. Imam al-Ghazali tells us a story too. Imam al-Ghazali was a very famous scholar, as we all know. He had a brother named Ahmad al-Ghazali, an older brother, who was not famous, but many people say he was more knowledgeable and he was deeper in his spirituality as well. So they had a dispute. They had a dispute. And Ahmad al-Ghazali said, let's have an arbitrator. Abu Hamd said, okay, who? So he said, the Messenger of Allah. This is 600 years after the Hijrah. So Abu Hamd al-Ghazali said, how? And Ahmad al-Ghazali laughed. He said, look how weak faith you are. Right? He said, spend all night doing ibadah, then sleep and see what happens. And this will be our arbitration. Okay? So they spent all night in ibadah. Abu Hamd al-Ghazali went home. Ahmad al-Ghazali went home. Abu Hamd al-Ghazali then, he saw a dream of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet gave him 3 dates. And when he woke up, he found the dates actually in his hands. So he ran to his brother's house, knocked on the door. Right? He walked in, and as he's about to tell him, show him the 3 dates, he sees a whole plate of dates. Okay? He said, didn't I tell you the arbitration is going to work? Right? So that's the arbitration. So this is telling you, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not distant from the mu'mineen. It's a very important point of aqidah. Yeah. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, رَغِمَ أَنْفُ رَجُلٍ ذُكِرْتُ عِنْدَهُ فَلَمْ يُصَلِّ عَلَيْهِ. He said, may his nose be soiled with dust, which is a phrase, right, of disgrace. A man, if I'm mentioned in his presence and he doesn't make salah upon me. It's a type of stinginess. لَا تَجَعَلُوا قَبْرِي عِيدًا وَصَلُّوا عَلَيَّ فَإِنَّ صَلَاتَكُمْ تَبْلُغُنِي حَيْثُ كُنْتُمْ. Okay. Means, do not make my grave a place of festivity. What does that mean? Meaning noise and festivity and noise and all these things. Rather, it should be a place of what? Salah upon him. Meaning sukoon, right? Right? It should be a place of quietude and sukoon. Okay, this is the meaning of this hadith, and not a place of loudness and all these other forms that we would consider disrespect. Okay? The grave of the Prophet must be very quiet and treated with utmost respect at the grave of the Prophet, peace be upon him. Imam Malik said, do not say I'm going to visit the grave of the Prophet, say I'm going to visit the Prophet. Imam Malik said this. Okay, any have any questions? Yeah. Okay, the phrase Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Okay. Some of the ulama have given different explanations. Okay. Allahumma ablighna min salatihi. Alright. In other words, O Allah, the phrase, O Allah, make salah upon the Prophet, peace be upon him. Some of the phraseology of this, Sayyidina Muhammad Alawi al-Maliki has a lot of explanation of this, very simple explanation. It's meaning, O Allah, deliver to us from the blessings, right, associated with the Prophet, peace be upon him. This is one of the meanings. Okay, one of the meanings. And I'll go into his book and see some of the other meaning, grammatical meanings of why the grammar is the way it is. That's what the zahir means. That's what the immediate meaning, that's what it sounds like. That's why it looks like we're making dua for the Prophet, peace be upon him. Right? But no, that's not the actual intended purpose. And it is that even that salah, even if it is meant that way, It's meant that as a type of praise to him, as a type of praise to the Prophet, peace be upon him, and as a type of give him the salah, right? In other words, increase his rank, and by us associating ourselves with that, then we receive. Okay, and that's one of the meanings as well. Yeah. But I want to go look into the book by Sayyid Muhammad Adwin Maliki on the actual tafsir of the salah upon the Prophet. And I had it on the tip of my, I had it written down. So I just have to refresh my memory on that exact phraseology. Yeah. What else? Need this? Yep. Yeah.
Do you have to physically say it, like speak it out loud? Or
you have to move your tongue.
Okay.
Even if you don't move your voice, you got to move your tongue. Yes. Okay. Salah upon the Prophet, peace be upon him, can be done in any state. It's different from the Quran, right? It's more, there are more freedoms to make salah on the Prophet than the Quran. Quran, yani a person should be in a place of respect, whereas dhikr in general, and the rules of salah on the Prophet is like the rules of dhikr in general, it can be done in all of your states, while you're doing something, right? And it can be done in individually, silently, aloud, and in jama'ah. Like all the dhikrs, right? So there's more loose. You can be doing something, you can be doing it together, you can be doing it while you are in transport and other modes, and it can be done, of course, in jama'ah, right? As the Sahaba were doing dhikr in jama'ah many times, at Hajj, when the time of Umar came out of the Darul Arqam with the Sahaba, while they were digging the trench, many times, takbirat of Eid, many examples of the Sahaba making dhikr together, and this is why it's a recreation that we need to revive amongst the people more than they needed it. Well, I was listening to a sheikh the other day, and he stated that no one should say we just do what they did. No, because we have problems that they didn't have, right? And in Aqidah, for example, in the study of Aqidah, there are writings of the latter scholars that the early Salaf, they never said, they never interpreted. Why? Because different problems developed, such as ignorance, right? Therefore you had to interpret more, right? So this was a scholar from Saudi, actually, so I was happy to see someone from Saudi saying that, because they tend to reflect, to say, no, only follow, do only what they have done. You can't, you have problems they don't have. We have a problem, which is there are way too many distractions. The Sahaba did not need someone to gather them for dhikrillah. Why would the Sahaba and the Tabi'een need any, and the early Salaf and many early generations need anyone to gather them to do salah on the Prophet, peace be upon him, when everyone is a Muslim? The adhan is going off 5 times a day. There are very few distractions. The guidance is plentiful, right? Today we have problems they don't have. If you leave everyone, as they did, right? They didn't even open Islamic schools. They didn't have madrasas. The first person to open a building just for learning, 600, is about 300, 400 years after the Hijrah, whenever Nizam al-Mulk, whenever he lived, right? For 300-400 years, they didn't have a building for education. Go and say, okay, be like the Salaf. Don't have a building for education, just come to the mosque whenever you want, and you'll see a sheikh talking, right? No. So sometimes you have different problems, require different solutions. And this is why the latter ulama, they establish the dhikr gatherings for that reason, right? Because of the spread of ghafla. Anything from the brothers on the phone? All right, if there are any other last go of any comments? Yeah.
So in some gatherings, I know there's people standing when you do some of the
talk. Oh, this is another thing that happened. In the beginning, this happened in Egypt, and in Mecca, and then in Egypt. standing for the salah and salam upon the Prophet, peace be upon him. It began in Mecca, and the Shafi'i scholars, they didn't like it at all. So this is a big innovation. The scholars of Egypt liked it, and they continued it, and it was basically standing to, again, why did they do something new like this? Again, new problems require new solutions, and solutions that could differ upon them. So this is a matter that is different upon them, right? It's not something that is all everyone agrees. When we make salah on the Prophet, we stand. However, the reasoning behind this is to physically wake up the respect that people should have for the Prophet, peace be upon him, because of how many centuries are passing and people are losing this completely. So the physical movement is a way to wake up and manifest someone's respect for the Prophet, peace be upon him. And this is just the ijtihad, or the the idea of a scholar, of scholars, of men. And it can be accepted or rejected. Who accepts it, or rejects it, has the right to reject it. And what is the proof that this is permissible in the first place? Very simple. Surah Ali Imran. Right? Zikrullah qiyaman wa qu'udan wa ala junubikum. Right? Remember Allah standing, sitting, and on your sides. What does that mean? It means in all your states, and therefore standing upon dhikr can be permitted. So now they say, okay, but you cannot stand just in that situation. Like, okay, why not? What in that standing is problematic? All right? Standing as a reflection of respect. So again, it's an ijtihad of ulama that you can accept and you can reject. Allah Ta'ala. What's that?
My mom's Christian.
Okay.
So she does something, you know, like, Jesus loves you, baby, and this and that. And I'm like, come on, you know, nothing. Who are you praying to?
Yeah.
When you really pray, who are you praying to? She's like, oh, Trinity. So I'm like, that means you're praying to three people, three gods. Like, it doesn't make much sense to me. And she has so much to say about the sun. I'm like, you know what? And the Quran says it. You'll have me with you, and I'll have my youth, you know? And I really try to bring her into, like, this Islam, and try to show us. No, I believe that we do follow a wholesome religion, and it makes a lot of sense, because when we pray, yeah, we acknowledge kind of someone like we're studying, but we pray to Allah, or something. They're praying directly to Isa. Like, that's how it is.
Yeah.
They believe that, you know?
And this is the problem, because when you ask, well, who did Moses pray to, right? There was no concept of a trinity, right? Who did Abraham pray to? Who did Adam pray to? Who did Gabriel pray to before the existence of man? So the belief in Aqidah is that the Aqidah never changes. Theology, like all the prophets understood God well. They understood him perfectly, right? They understood, the laws changed. Only the laws changed. This is why the Prophet ﷺ said, all prophets have the same father and different mothers. What did that mean? That means that the beliefs of all the prophets were the same. If you were to describe Allah Azza wa Jal, it is the same description as Moses, Abraham, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Isa, Idris, all of the people. The followers of Nuh, if you were to describe God, they would have the same description of God. There's no difference in the description of God Azza wa Jal from beginning of time to the end of time. It's only the laws that change and the languages and whatnot. So this you have to ask, Mom. You guys say, Mom, how did Abraham pray to God? I'm going to pray to God how Abraham prayed to God. And Moses prayed to God. Right? How did Jesus pray to God? Did he pray to himself? Right? He prayed to God. We know that for sure. Right? So that we know that if you talk to yourself, they call you schizophrenic. So if he's part of the Trinity, who is he talking to? Right? He's talking to himself. Right? So, well, I don't even know if I define schizophrenia right, but for us common folk, it's all okay. No disrespect to the. I'm gonna probably get an email from like the schizophrenic society support system. You can never, you never get by on the internet. Someone's gonna get you. Anyone else have anything to say? A sheikh, everyone who becomes old eventually is a sheikh. Oh, there's no real difference. Sheikh in religion and alim, no real difference. But alim is more specific. Alim is more specific. Yeah. Alim is more specific. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, sure. SubhanAllah, I was thinking of this recently, okay, and I have to get back to you on this. I was thinking about this recently, and I have it written somewhere. You come across a lot of things, but that's why I say knowledge is revealed, because I remember covering that mas'ala one time, right, and writing it down, but I forgot what the answer is, so I have to go back to it. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum.